Now, Father, I thank You so much for Your Word this morning. Father, I thank You so much for Your kindness and Your goodness. Father, I thank You so much that You love us so much. You gave us a compass, a roadmap, a GPS to success and victory. So, Father, it's Your Word that changes our lives. So, Father, I thank You that when I open my mouth this morning, the Word will come out of it. And, Father, I thank You lives will be changed, destinies will be overturned. And, Father, we'll always give You the praise and glory. Father, I thank You bullseyes are hit this morning in people's hearts. Whatever people need, Father, You're going to say it through me, and it'll help them, and it'll bless them, and it'll change their life. And, Father, we don't give the credit to the name on the building. We don't give the credit to the preacher. We give the credit to Jesus, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and to You, Father. We praise You and magnify You this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Bibles, you can open to Acts chapter 1. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. So grateful. He is so faithful. He is so good to us. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, of course, this is part 3 of our series titled The Baptism of the Holy Spirit. And before I get going into a little bit of review, we don't have time to take a lot of review. I want to read our what we would call our reference text or the golden text that we've been looking at that started us off here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. The Bible says, being assembled together with them, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. And if you don't know who the them are, they're His followers that became born again and are now Christians. Amen? This is a new group of people on planet Earth that have never existed before. Christians. Because one can't become a Christian until after Jesus had died and rose again. But now He had died, rose again, appeared to them before He went to heaven, you know. And so they're born again, they're Christians. So He's assembled together with them. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, saith He which you have heard of Me. So He says to His new group of people, Christians. How many of you know they're just as much Christian as we're Christian? Amen. And this is what He tells them. He says, you need to wait for this promise. You need to wait for this. He said, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Excuse me, verse 8. But you shall receive power. That's supernatural power, not natural power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Notice this. The power doesn't come until after they get the gift. Let me say that again so it clicks in your head. The power doesn't come until after you receive this gift. Christian who's not received this gift yet, the power doesn't come until after you receive this gift. Yeah, you're a Christian, and yeah, you're heaven-bound. But you can be a heaven-bound Christian with no power. That's why Jesus told him, He said, I need you to get this power. You shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So He said, wait for the promise of the Father. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we won't turn there. Just for time's sake, we see the fulfillment of this promise. There was 120 of them that heeded the words of Jesus and were in a place called the upper room. And they were praying, waiting for that promise to happen, you know. And the Holy Ghost was poured out and they received it. And the way it terms, the terminology used in that is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So if you hear the terminology filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, you could interchange those. They're the exact same thing. So we're going to look at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we're on week 3, and we said in this series, we're going to flip it upside down, turn it inside out, leave no stone unturned. Because this topic is one of, and it shouldn't be, but it is, one of the most highly contested, debated doctrines in all the body of Christ. You know, God's not the author of confusion, but people are. And God certainly doesn't want us confused. And He left us a roadmap that clearly shows us what is and what isn't. Unfortunately, you know, where I grew up, where Courtney grew up, where a lot of maybe you grew up, you never heard anything about this. It was either mum on it, or it was taught wrong, or you were told to stay away from it. Well, again, what we said the first week of this series, to receive of this series, you got to lay down your traditions. You got to lay down your own feelings, your own stereotypes. You got to lay down that which was taught by someone that you highly value and respect. Listen, I don't give a rip about what anybody tells me if it's not the Bible. I don't care how eloquent they are. I don't care how educated they are. I don't care how much I trust them in my life. I'm not saying you don't value them, and I'm not saying they can't add benefit to your life. But when they say things that contradict the Bible, you want to throw that away. You don't want that stuff. And a lot of times people come into this with their own preconceived ideas and notions on this, and it just clouds it, and they say, I can't receive that. No, we need to just take the Word. Our job is not for the Word to conform to us. Our job is to conform to it. Praise God. And so we're going to look at it. And I told you this, the Lord revealed this to me, that this is going to be, you know, I was thinking, and the Holy Ghost started dealing with me about that word that the Lord gave us for the beginning of the year, about the thaw coming. And I thought, wow, isn't it interesting, Lord, that the first series you had me preach after we professed that word was the series on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just so you know, this will be the catalyst to your thaw. Yes. Amen. This will be the catalyst to your thaw. Because why? Supernatural power will now be added to those things that have been frozen. Those things that have been held under. Those things that have been stale and stagnant. And so it's just amazing how God works. I wasn't thinking, hey, let's come up with a catchy word for the new year, and then let's preach a series to kind of back it up. No, the Holy Ghost is I'm not that smart. I guess I should say it that way. But the Holy Ghost is. Hallelujah. And so no matter where you are in this, because some of you are well-versed in this. Some of you have been around this topic for years and for years. But some of us need a stirring. Some of us need to be shook up a little bit. Amen? Some of us need to go forward the right way. And today, it'll, for those of you that are well-versed in it, it'll help remind you of why you need to do that or what the purpose is. For those of us that are on the outside looking in, it's going to be a chance to change your life. You know, I point to two things in my life as the things that really were the life changers for me. First thing was being born again on January 10th, 2002. The next, I don't have the date for it, but I was in my apartment in Water Street in Fredonia going to Fredonia State, and I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Besides salvation, it's the greatest moment of my life because it changed everything for me. Amen. I was walking in a life without power, without supernatural power, just going through it, you know, and then God blessed me with this power, and it just changes everything because the natural can't stand up to God's power. Your financial problems that manifest in the natural can't stand up to God's power. Your physical problem can't stand up to it. Problems you're having with your kids, apply the Word and the Spirit. They can't stand up to it. Praise God. It's just the truth. Hallelujah. So I'm so excited about this series. And the first week, what we talked about, for those that weren't here, and let me encourage you, if this is the first message you're hearing, you need to get on live stream and listen to the archives because it steadily builds to something. And I'll do the little bit of review that I can, but because of what we need to cover today, we can't spend too much time on it. But the first week we preached it, which was I think was 4 weeks ago because we took a week off for the weather, but we talked about preparing our hearts. That no matter what our flesh says, no matter what our minds say, if it's the Bible, we're going to go with the Bible. Amen? Where people get in trouble is they get their own emotions into it. They get their own thoughts into it. No, your emotions and your thoughts are not higher than God's Word. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's what we're doing. Praise God. And then last week we saw, hold on, forgive me, this is going to be a whole service thing today. You just drink your water while I'm drinking my fancy Fiji, okay? I'm going to turn around so I'm not embarrassed. Pray. Cotton mouth up here. We're going to start spitting cotton. But we saw last week, I do encourage you to get online and listen to this. Because this is where people, they have trouble receiving this, especially if you come from a traditional background. Because we're telling you that you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And those that are already Christians will say, I got all the Holy Ghost I'm ever going to need the time I got born again. And how dare you, Pastor Mike, say that I didn't receive it all? How dare you say that I'm on the outside looking in? How dare you say that there's something more I need to receive? Well, I dared to say it. I dared. I did it. And I'm not taking it back. But they weren't my words. They were Jesus's. And last week, we saw clearly in the Bible that salvation is an experience and the baptism of the Holy Ghost is experience, but they're not the same experience. They're completely different and separate. Amen? And for you to go forward in this to where you get to the point to receive this gift, you have to renew your mind that, hey, Yes, I'm a Christian. We're not saying you're a bad person. We're not saying that God doesn't love you. We're not saying you're not going to heaven. We're just saying you're missing out on something. You're lacking a little bit. Amen? And you need to get it renewed in your mind that, yep, I'm Christian. I'm saved. But there's something more I need. There's something more I need. I got to get this. Amen? There's something more I need. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so that's where you need to go. And we looked at that last week. We looked at several references. I only have time for one, but I'm going to remember I brought the smoking gun from last week. I brought a smoking gun this week, and I brought a smoking gun from last week. So in my holster, I got two smoking guns. And I'm ready to pull out the one from last week. So let's pull out the one from last week. It's still smoking. I mean, it's still smoking. Go to Acts 19 and verse 1. Acts 19 and verse 1. What am I trying to show you? Just review that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, even though you're a Christian, it's something you need, and it's a separate experience, praise God. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. And again, all these will be on there in the service last week, including four other references. Say, there's only five. Jesus only said we needed two or three. To establish a doctrine, he said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, whatever that word is, then it'll be established. And we gave you five last week to just go over top, oh, more than enough, you know, and really establish it. But it says, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and found disciples. And he said unto them, look what he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since? What does that word since mean? After. It means, have you received the Holy Ghost since or after you believed? There, ladies and gentlemen, is the smoking gun. That the Holy Ghost is something you need to receive after salvation. Paul came upon certain people that he perceived to be Christians. Now we find out later they weren't Christians, but then they got saved and then they received the gift. But Paul finds certain disciples that in his mind they're born again. What's the first thing he asks these Christians? Have you received this? Because if you haven't, you're missing out. Have you received it since or after you believe? What's he saying? You did not get all the Holy Ghost that you need or that is available at the day of salvation. Amen? It can't get any more clear than that. And if that's not clear enough for you, I'm just here to tell you, I can't help you, God can't help you, Jesus can't help you, and the Holy Ghost can't help you because it is as plain as day that it's separate. Amen? Hallelujah. I love when people argue with me. Well, you know, yeah, I know. It's right there. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we saw that it's two separate things. And then, of course, you know, we're going into this week, week three, and your pastor reached down deep inside himself and pulled out his inner Tina Turner. And we said, what's tongues got to do? Got to do. Come on, sing it with me. What's tongues got to do? Got to do with it. Well, we're going to find out today. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what we did. I'd reach way down and pulled that out, you know. Because we see this with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We see the word tongues. And oh, that word can elicit so many thoughts and feelings in people. Right? It can make people nervous. It can turn people off. It can give people thoughts, oh, you're one of those churches. Sorry to say, we are. Amen? But we're biblical in our order because God is not a God of disorder. And a lot of people have been subjected to things or given, you know, told things from people they trust that maybe experienced things wrong or ignorant about this tongues issue. What is this tongues issue? I'll sign up for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Pastor Mike, but can we leave that tongues thing on the shelf? I really don't want to have that tongues thing. But remember, what's tongues got to do with it? It has everything to do with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, don't take my word on it. Let's see what it says in the Bible. But I'm going to make this statement right now, and you can write this down if you want to, but remember it if you don't, that tongues is the evidence. It is the initial and only evidence that one has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let me say that again. Tongues, and you're going to see this in the Word, is the only evidence that somebody has truly received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now there are other, fruits of that tree of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can be filled with the Spirit and joy will be present, and peace will be present, and faith will be present. But faith, joy, love, victory, you know, having a hop in your step, that's not evidence that you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to do things the Bible way. Not how we think, not what so-and-so thinks, not what's comfortable to us. We need to do it the Bible way. Amen? So I'm going to show you today that tongues has everything to do with this baptism of the Holy Ghost. That you can't separate the one from the other. Amen? Just like my one arm and my one arm part of the same body. My one arm is not a separate entity of Pastor Mike. My right leg is not a separate entity. It's part of it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues they go hand in hand, and you can't have one without the other. Amen? But don't take my word for it. Let's look at what it says in the Bible. Go with me to Acts chapter 9 and verse 17. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to say this out of fear. It's by my heart to say this for a while. I am imploring you, pray for your pastor.
Amen.
Amen? I can't stress it and say it enough that I hope people do what they're supposed to do. Because if I'm going to proceed and go forward and get past them of the things that are in my life and to get into where God has us, we see in the Bible, I cannot do that alone. I can't even just do that with Jesus. I can't even just do that with the Holy Ghost. It's going to take the prayers of the people. Say, do you have scripture on that? We sure do. In Acts chapter 12, we see one of the mightiest men in the Bible be killed, James. And then Herod, motivated by the devil, tried to do it to Peter. And the only thing that spared Peter, now we see Peter before then, he was a man of faith. He was preaching the word to thousands of people. He was standing in the face of opposition and not backing down. And he's in prison. And we know he's got faith. We know he's filled with the Holy Ghost. But because of his position and his calling, it wasn't just him that could get him out of it. James stood in the same place that Peter stood. And James got killed. And Peter was there. And the Bible says the only thing that spared Peter was not Jesus. Jesus wanted to do it. It wasn't God and it wasn't the Holy Ghost. It was the prayers of the people. So I am asking you, and I wouldn't ask this, and if you remember when my pastor came in here in September, he preached on you need to be praying for your pastor. And afterwards, he sat down with me and he said, Pastor Mike, your church isn't praying for you enough. Now that's not to slap your wrists and to be down on you, but I'm asking you. Just like my pastor stood up in front of his church one time and said, I just need to let you know you need to be praying for me. I'm asking you, make power available. We're headed into some things, and the opposition is real, and the opposition is great, but praise God, we overcome.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So thank you beforehand for taking that mantle up and doing that for me. Praise God. It'll pay off for this church. It'll pay off for your life, and it certainly will help me. Hallelujah. But in Acts chapter 9 and verse 17, now again, we're going to look at the Bible, what it says about tongues being the evidence that one is filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 17, now I'm going to show you five places again like we did last week. And two of these places, it's inferred that the tongues came with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't exactly spell it out in the verse, but because of the final three ones we're going to look at, we can infer that, yep, it happened the same way as this one. Amen? In fact, I don't even need to point out the inferred ones because the ones that aren't inferred that spell it out would give us three. And Jesus said the mouth of two or three. But I'm going to give you the five places. And in Acts chapter 9 and verse 17, we pick up where it says, and Ananias went his way. Now let me catch you up from verse 1 to verse 17. Verses 1 through 7 was when the man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, whose name was converted to the Apostle Paul, who's responsible for writing 2/3 of the Bible, arguably the greatest Christian ever walked the face of this earth. This was when he got saved. Jesus appeared to him on that road to Damascus, and he got born again, didn't he? And Jesus told him, he said, go into the house in the street that's called Straight. There's a house there. Go in there and pray and wait. There's going to be a man by the name of Ananias. And he's going to come into your house. And he's going to, and Jesus, what Jesus told him is, I want you to lay hands on him. Now, if you look at what the scripture said, Jesus said, I want you to go there and lay your hands on him so he can receive his sight. So Ananias is going his way. But what you also need to know is when Paul was in that house praying, because Paul, when that light shone round about from heaven, it blinded him. And so God wanted to give him back his sight, you know. And so when Paul went to that house, Jesus told Paul, hey, there's going to be a man by the name of Ananias coming to lay hands on you. He's coming, and we'll read about that. So Ananias knows I'm supposed to go see Paul, or Saul at the time. And Saul in the house knows I'm waiting for a man by the name of Ananias. So we pick it up with Ananias going and doing what the Lord said. Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and put his hands on him, said, Brother Saul. Well, he can't refer to him that way if he's not a brother. And he's not a natural brother. We know they don't have the same mother. He doesn't even know him. In fact, we see when Jesus told him to do it, Ananias didn't know who he was except knew of him. They didn't have a relationship, but didn't want to go see him. Amen? He didn't say, well, this guy's been nasty since we were little kids and growing up with mom, you know. No. He said, I know what this guy's been doing. And so Ananias goes to his brother Saul. So we know Paul's a Christian, which is one of the things we pointed out last week. It says that Jesus appeared, even Jesus that appeared to you in the way, has come and sent me that you might receive your sight. Now remember, this is important to point out. If you look at the verses before, when what's recorded is Jesus told Ananias, go lay hands on Saul to receive his sight. Amen? That's what it says. But look at what Ananias said that Jesus said to him. Ananias said that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So we get more insight, and it's important to understand this for Bible interpretation. We see that Ananias wasn't, even though the verses before said that Jesus, all that was recorded was that Jesus told him to go lay hands on him. Well, just because it wasn't recorded doesn't mean it didn't happen. If you were to be a witness at a crash, you would report certain things, but other things might have happened, and you just didn't record it. But we know by what Ananias said that Jesus told me, give you your sight and lay hands on you, that Jesus must have said to him, go lay hands on him for a sight and lay hands on him to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It just wasn't recorded. Amen? Why am I telling you that? Because the first two places we're going to look at are inferred that the Holy Ghost came, or that tongues came with speaking, with being filled with the Holy Ghost. Just because it doesn't say it doesn't mean it didn't happen. And the last three places definitely say it, which prove the point, and you can go back and say, it obviously happened there because that's how it happened here. And don't forget, I got in my back pocket. It's getting a little warm back there because it's smoking. I mean, it's smoking. It's coming right up through me. Hallelujah. And so he says, he's come to you, receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So he got filled with the Holy Ghost. You can read on there, he received it. But the Bible doesn't tell you that he spoke in tongues. Well, that must mean that tongues doesn't immediately follow the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, we know by the last three places we're going to look at that it does. But I want to point your attention to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. Hallelujah. Praise God. The devil loses. He's a loser. Now look at this. This is the same one that was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now his name is Paul. But look what Paul says about this tongues business. I thank my God. Now for those of you that are skeptical about tongues, you ought to get this on the inside of you. Why? This is the billboard. This is the greatest advertisement ever. Amen. You know why they pay the millions of dollars for 30 seconds? Because they want people to see their product. Because the world, this is the most watched event. The world's watching it. This is the Super Bowl ad for tongues. The Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian, the writer of 2/3 of the Bible that you've received great revelation and change from, says, I thank my God. I speak in tongues more than you all. Amen is right. So we don't see it immediately written down or recorded in the Bible that he immediately spoke with tongues, but we know something about Paul. He was a tongue talker. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now go with me to Acts 8 and verse 14. We're going to look at another place where it doesn't spell it out that tongues is the evidence, but it sure infers it. Acts 8 and verse 14. Because you could say, Ananias, Jesus didn't tell you to get him with the Holy Ghost. We read before where Jesus just told you to lay hands on him to receive his sight. But just because it wasn't recorded didn't mean it wasn't said. Amen? Didn't mean it didn't happen. Praise God. Acts 8 and verse 14. I know this is a little teachy, but we need to get this. And you know why, people that are well-versed in this, why this will help you? Because when you see that tongues has everything to do with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost was his part to fill you. You know what your part of the equation is? Speaking in tongues. And so when you see that tongues has everything to do with it, it should stir you up and light a fire to do what you're supposed to do with it. He did his part, now it's your turn to do your part, which is what? It's the speaking in tongues, praise God. In Acts 8 and verse 14 it says, "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God," what's that mean when they received the word of God? They got saved. So these people in Samaria, the Samaritans were not born again, but they received the word of God. Look at what they did, and we looked at this last week and the fact that it's two separate experiences. The first thing they heard was when the people were saved in Samaria is they sent unto them the heavy hitters, Peter and John. Send Peter and John down to the Christians. Why would you need to send Peter and John down to the Christians? Once you're saved, that's all you need, right? No, it's not. Why did they send them down? Verse 15, who when they had come down, prayed for them. Who? The ones that already received the word of God and were saved. Prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, verse 16, for as yet, or up till now, he had not fallen on any of them. Yet they were Christians, but the Holy Ghost didn't fall on them when they got saved. Why? It's two separate experiences. That's what we looked at last week. He said, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, I'm here to ask you, were you only saved? Are you only saved? If you're only saved, there's more for you. Amen, there's more for you. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 18 says something interesting. When Simon saw, and I said this last night, this was the origins of Simon Says. Simon saw, Simon Says, same thing. That's where it came from. I always wondered. I like that game. When Simon saw, praise God, that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. So Simon saw something, saying, give me also this power, that on whomever I lay hands on may receive the Holy Ghost. Now, it doesn't say right there that when they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. But in the last three places we're going to look at in the future here, going into it, we're going to see that that's the only way, it's the evidence. But what would Simon have saw that would tell him something changed in them? Now, did Simon see from the laying on of hands the Holy Ghost go out of his hands? How many of you know? You've never seen the Holy Ghost. I've seen him once. You want to hear my spiritual time I saw the Holy Ghost? If you're not hungry for it, listen. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst. Do you want to hear the time, that one time I saw the Holy Ghost? A six-year-old daughter, she's about four, threw a white sheet over her head, went running through the house declaring, I am the Holy Ghost. So I've seen him once, you've never seen him, but that was it. The Lord only allowed me a glimpse into seeing these things. So my point is this, to be facetious about it, you can't see the Holy Spirit. You can't see him. So what did Simon see? Well, you're going to see later, he saw these people start speaking in a language that had never been uttered on planet Earth before. They're just words of, sounds like gibberish to your mind, are flowing out of him. And he sees this and says, wow, I want to be able to lay hands on people and get them talking in different languages. Amen. You say, well, Pastor Mike, that's a stretch. It might be a stretch if that's the only two places we have. But don't forget what's in my back pocket, and don't forget about the two places we're going to go before we get to my back pocket. That will clearly show you in the Bible that when one is filled with the Holy Ghost, the evidence of that is speaking in tongues. Amen? Are you ready to look? Go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Praise God. Acts 2 and verse 1. Now look at this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, one place. Who are the they? Well, remember our reference or golden text? Jesus said he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem until they received the Holy Ghost. So they listened to Jesus. What a novelty. Wow. This utterance opened up last night and opened up again. They took Jesus at his word and did what he said. Why? Jesus in Acts chapter 1 didn't suggest that they be there and wait for it. Jesus commanded that they be there and wait for it. I don't know if you know much about the judicial system or not, but have you ever been subpoenaed to go to court before? I've been subpoenaed to go to court before. To be, you know, testify, be a witness, whatever. And when the court system sent me the paperwork, you know what the wording was from the law system? We command you to be at this place at this time, and if you don't, penalty of law. Get in trouble. That's what it says, the word command. I did not look at that document and think, see what's going on that day. And neither would you. I didn't treat that document lightly. Guess what? No matter how inconvenient it was for me, no matter how much maybe I wanted to or didn't want to, no matter what I had going on, no matter how I felt, I'm going. Why? The law has commanded me to do so. Yet Jesus commands his people, do not go forward in life without this power. And so many of the body of Christ throughout the world look at that and say, that's for those charismatics. That's for the Pentecostals. That's for the radical group of Christianity. You know, that's not comfortable to me. That's not what fits in with my lifestyle. That's not what I'm familiar with. Yeah, do that with a subpoena. That tells you to command. We place more honor in a document sent by men than a document sent by the Father. And so for those of you that are on the outside looking in, I'm telling you, in the eyes of Jesus, you do what you want, but in the eyes of him, this isn't an option. Oh, when we see the Ten Commandments, we don't think to break them. We honor those commandments. But this commandment, I don't know, I just didn't grow up that way. That's weird to me. You're deceived in your own mind. And you have placed higher value because all of us would say, yep, I'm going to change my schedule and I'm going to be there that time and that day and that place. I'm not going to miss that. Amen. It's just the truth. But the word is like, so backwards. The honor for the things of God in the body of Christ is so laughable. Here we go. We honor school more than our time in the house of God. Oh, our children, they got to be there. We honor the hobbies and the recreation that, yeah, can bring blessings, yeah, can bring good. But you know what Jesus said to Martha in Luke chapter 10, I believe it was? There's only one thing that you need, Martha. One thing, and that's to receive the Word of God. Your kids, yeah, they're blessed by schooling and there's things they need. Not more than the Word. Not more than being under the anointing. We place honor and value on our jobs more than the house of God. Oh, I got to be there. Why? That paycheck. Ooh, that paycheck sings to us. But when God says to do something, it's backwards. And the Lord said, they that honor me, I will honor them. And to have the honor of God on your life, it'll change your kids. It'll change your finances. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your body, praise God. And so many people just treat God like it's any old thing that's optional. And I'm just telling you, whether you do it or don't do it, I'm going to love you the same. You're missing out and your lives are hurting for it. And you're not receiving the full benefit. And your kids will reap. And your life will reap. Because the Word of God is not a liar. And He said, they that sow into the flesh, what's the flesh? The natural realm. Will of that realm reap destruction. We run around rampant to make sure our kids in everything during the week. And make sure they're at school. And make sure they're doing their homework. And when it comes to church, you're going to reap some things. And I'm just trying to warn you beforehand because the Bible's not a liar. But they that sow to the Spirit, what's the Spirit? Sow into the things of God. Will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Do what you want with it. Praise God. It's just the truth. Glory to God. Well, we got off that soapbox. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with all one accord in one place. You know what's sad? Most people don't listen to me. And I'm cleaning up messes when they don't listen to me. And I'm having to go back and help them, and I will, and I'm glad to do it. But why get to the point where the crash happens? And look back and say, man, I sure wish I would have. This is God's Word. He tells us these things to bless us, to help us, to warn us. Don't be one of those people that say, my goodness, why? Why didn't I listen? Pastor was shouting it. There's always a reaping. That's not me being judgmental. That's not me trying to condemn you. It's me loving you and telling you if you need to make a change, please, for the love of your children, for the love of your family, for the love of your own life, do it God's way. I can't stress it enough, praise God. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now look at this. And they, who the Christians, were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You see that there? But what's the word after the word ghost? And. You can read it. And. You know what that means? Something goes along with this filling with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what was the immediate reaction? They began to speak in tongues. Why? You can't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues. It's the evidence. It's the proof. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there we see they were filled and something happened. Filled and. Well, it's the same thing that happened in Acts chapter 8. And Simon said, they're filled and something happened. What are they speaking? Amen. That's number 3. Now go with me to Acts 19 and verse 1. We were already there, but go back to it. Acts 19, 1. Listen, I'm not stupid enough to think that there's not pressures from the world and there's not things that weigh on parents and that weigh on people and the money issues to, you know, try to do everything in the natural and put God's words. I'm not, but you have to understand, you know where those pressures are coming from? Those thoughts are coming from? The devil's the god of this world. All those worldly things that he's telling you are more important. You know why he's telling you? Because he knows the Bible's as true as anybody knows it. Oh, he knows the Bible's true. And he wants to keep you at all costs from doing it. So he'll put pressures on you through other people, through your own children's words, through thoughts, through money, through circumstances, to get you to not do the Bible. Why? Because then he's just rubbing his hands saying, I got him. Yeah. It's the truth. I'm a truth spiller. Amen. At all costs, it doesn't matter to me. If it costs me empty seats in my church, don't care. If it doesn't matter to me. We're going forward with Him. Praise God. Acts 19 and verse 1. Of course, we read down this. Came to pass, Paul passed through the upper coast, found disciples. Verse 2 said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we haven't heard there's a Holy Ghost. Verse 3 said, what were you baptized? They said, we're baptized by John. So then Paul realizes something. They're not Christians after all. They were only baptized by John, but John was baptizing people before Jesus died and rose again. He said, then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him or believe on Jesus, which should come after him, that is Christ Jesus. So Paul's telling these people, yeah, you got baptized with John, that's well and good, but now it's about Jesus. Now it's about Jesus, amen? So he tells them about Jesus, and look what it says in verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What happened in verse 5? These people that he thought were saved, that really weren't, now got saved. Amen? But look at what happens in verse 6. When Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on the Christians, them, and, everybody say and again, the Holy Ghost immediately comes, and what immediately happens? The only thing that can immediately happen if you're truly baptized with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Amen. That's number 4. Two places inferred, two places not inferred. Two places that tell you that they got filled and something happened. Now hold on a second. I'm getting the gun out. Oh, I got it. Are you ready? Acts 10:44. You know, when God gives us utterance like he just gave us, it's not to hurt you. It's not to condemn you. He loves you so much. It's to bring you up higher. It's to bring you up higher. You know, when the doctor's in the office and he says, you know what? If you would just change your eating habits, if you would just do a little bit of exercise, that's not the doctor being angry with you. That's not the doctor trying to hurt your life. That's the doctor trying to bring you up higher. Hey, you need to make some changes that will be a benefit to your body. And the word comes out and the Lord is saying, you need to make some changes that will be a benefit to your life. Praise God. Acts 10 verse 44. Hallelujah. While Peter yet spake, and by the way, just so you know, San Francisco 33 to 30. Just so you know when it happens, and then you see my cards, oh, he wrote that after. No, I just told you. You go back to the live stream, but you listen, that the 49ers will win today 33 to 30, okay? We're done with that. Keep your opinions to yourself. I got the microphone. Praise God. Acts 10:44. I just had to get that out there because I know you'll think I did it after. But it's there. While Peter yet spake these words, look at this, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, now this is important to see, this is the smoking gun. They of the circumcision, what's they of the circumcision? Well, the Jews that got born again. So, Peter's speaking, the Holy Ghost falls on them, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. So the Jews that became Christians are looking at this saying, wow, look what happened. Well, what happened? It tells us. As many as came with Peter, because, this is why they were astonished, on the Gentiles also. What are the Gentiles? The Gentiles are what I am, what you are. We're not Jewish people. When you're not, the Bible only lists three categories of people. Jew, Gentile, and Christian, praise God. Hallelujah. And when you're a Gentile outside of Christian or a Jew outside of Christianity, you're not saved. And so a Gentile is somebody that's not of Jewish background or descent, that like I used to be, like you used to be, unless you're Jewish, and then you got saved. So I'm a saved Gentile, praise God. And he says, we're shocked. Because remember, if you read in the Bible, the Jews kind of got high-minded about things. The ones that got saved, they thought, we're the special ones. God reserved this salvation for just us, but they found out, no. This gift and the salvation and all that God has is for all the world if they receive it. Not just the Jews. But the Jews here are still on their high horse and thinking, wow! Why were they shocked? Because on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now again, think about what's happening. The Jewish Christians are looking at the Gentiles who got saved, and they're thinking to themselves, this is crazy. They received, because remember when they received it was back in Acts chapter 2. Now they're looking at him and say, this is nuts. We thought this was just for us, but we've seen now that God's given it to the non-Jewish people. But my question to you would be, how in the world would the Jewish Christians, Peter included, know that the Holy Ghost fell on those people? Again, you've not seen the Holy Ghost. I've only seen him once in a measure. Still working that out if it was of God or not. But I'm leaning towards no. But anyways, you've never seen him. So Peter says, we see it. They got the Holy Ghost. How could they know? Well, here comes the smoking gun. Are you ready? Amen. Said, we saw that the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, verse 46. How do you know that, Peter? Verse 46 tells us, for they heard them speak. You see it there? With tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which we have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? What's he saying? The same thing that happened to us in Acts chapter 2 just happened to them. Well, what happened to them in Acts chapter 2? Filled, speak. Filled, speak. Now they got filled, and Peter says, well, the only way we know it happened is because we heard them speak in tongues. That's the only way you know. How do you know somebody's filled with the Holy Ghost? Tongues. Again, if that, go back to verse 46, if you would, Janae, please. If that doesn't convince you, then nothing in the Bible will. Because it clearly tells us that the only way Peter knew that they got it was because they heard something. They didn't hear praise and worship in English. They heard speaking in tongues. Amen. Amen. So those of you that are on the outside looking in, oh, I want that baptism of the Holy Ghost, Pastor Mike, but not that tongues business. You can't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost without that tongues business. It's the only way that there's proof and evidence that you did receive it. That's five places, three that are clear, praise God. Now I want to show you something real quick before we close. And just so you know, in this series, what we're still going to look at in this series is we're going to look at, is tongues for everybody? Is it for everybody? What does the Bible say is tongues for everybody? Well, I'm going to show you a scripture here in a second that's going to kind of be part of that sermon that we're going to preach. And also we're going to show you, what do the naysayers say about this tongues business? Because there's whole denominations. There are famous preachers that I could tell you right now that have conferences that stand up with thousands of people and tell you that this is crazy. That this is wrong. And you know why? They take little portions of scripture and pull it out, and they don't do Bible interpretation, which is who's the audience, what's the context, what are they talking about, mouth of two or three witnesses. And we're going to show you all those thoughts that maybe you've had that people said, no, tongues are gone. That's not. It's better just to prophesy. All those things that they tell you, we're going to look at it, praise God. And then one of my favorite sermons to preach. How many of you know when you get a job, you know, at times there's jobs that come with benefit packages. What's a benefit package? Vacation time, what they call sick time, insurance, different things, right? Benefits that come with it. Wait until you see the benefit package that comes with tongues. And if that don't stir you to pray in tongues, nothing will. But we're going to look at that. But also in that series, I'm going to clearly show you how to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How to get it. And how many of you would raise your hand and say, under my ministry, you got filled with the Holy Ghost and are now speaking in tongues? Raise your hand. Look at all the hands. Now, put your hands down. How many of you received that in a service where you came forward? Lift your hands up. Several hands. We are going to, in this series, at the end, invite people to come up. And everybody that's already in the seats is going to be believing with you and praying in tongues, urging you on. And we're going to get you filled with the Holy Ghost. Your life's going to change. But this is what I need from you from now until that series, for that sermon starts. I want you every day to say this. I will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and I will speak in tongues. Get your faith on it. Because the devil is going to fight you, make you nervous, all the fears. No, no, you say, I will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's no such thing as you can't do it. Because if God said you can, then you can. If the thoughts are coming saying you can't or that you won't, it's a lie from the pit of hell. Start now saying, I will receive it. When Pastor Mike lays hands on me, I'm going to be filled and out of my mouth are going to come tongues. That's what a faith person would do. And you'll be so built up in faith when you come up, it will be just so easy. It'll flow right out of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, that one's empty. Let me show you something real quick. We got tacos to get to. Mark 16. Tacos are waiting. Don't want to keep the tacos waiting. Mark 16. Keep the tacos waiting. They'll come back with a vengeance later. Don't keep the tacos waiting. Don't keep them waiting. Mark 16. Look at verse 15. Let's find out what sweet Jesus said about this tongues business. And he said unto them, go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Now look at this. These signs shall follow them that believe. How many of you know to get these signs, you got to believe? What's that mean? Those that won't believe, they won't get these signs. But that doesn't mean it's not God. Just because whole denominations and group of Christianity want nothing to do with this doesn't mean it's not God. Why? The only ones that get it are they that believe. Can we just look at the Bible and take what he says as truth? This isn't Pastor Mike trying to create his church in a certain way or stir his church in a certain way. I want a Bible church. And Jesus said, the ones that will believe, signs will follow. Well, what are the signs that will follow? In my name they'll cast out devils. They shall speak with new. Everybody say new. You know what new means? It's brand new. Amen. New tongues. What does that mean? They're not going to all of a sudden be able to start speaking German. They're not going to all of a sudden be able to start speaking Spanish if they don't. Or Australian or British. No. It's a brand new language. Jesus said the ones that will believe in this, they will do it. Well, that's what your Jesus says. So, sit on that. Praise God. That's what he said. New tongues. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14:1. We'll close with these two scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Praise God. Did you like the new song today? What are you going to tell me? No. I mean, it's kind of a fishing for a thing, but I think it's just wonderful worshiping God to that song. And as we learn it more and more and the voices fill, it'll be great. But 1 Corinthians 14, let's go to verse 2 actually to save time. Look what he says here. This is Paul writing again. Remember the one that said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than y'all. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue. See, that's unknown. You know, if someone starts speaking a foreign language to me that I've never heard, to me it's going to be unknown, but it's not going to be unknown to other people in the world. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue doesn't speak to men, but unto God. For no man, everybody say no man. I might not understand the foreign language, but some man on earth's going to understand it if it's a language. No man understands him. This is why it gets so criticized and ridiculed, because when people hear it, it sounds like babble. It sounds like gibberish. It sounds like the pen of crazies and the charismaniacs are just doing their thing. You're not supposed to understand it. And you need to start telling your mind that when you come up to receive it, because when you start speaking in tongues, your mind is going to say, whoa, horsey! Let's back that up a little bit. Why? Because your mind's not supposed to understand it. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mystery. So what am I telling you in these last two verses? I'm showing you what tongues is going into next week. The Bible defines what tongues is. What is it? It's an unknown language, not for men, but something by means you can communicate with your Father. Now we'll close with this verse, 14, verse 14 of the same chapter. Paul said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, there it is again, my brain prayeth. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my flesh prayeth. No. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. But look at this. But my understanding, what's your understanding? Your brain is unfruitful. What's that mean? When you pray in tongues or when you hear tongues, your mind is going to go on tilt because it doesn't know what in the world's going on, and our brains don't like that. And our flesh doesn't like that. It makes us uncomfortable. But Paul said it right here. Tongues is not of the mind. It's not of the flesh. It's of the spirit. So what is tongues? It's a means, verse 2 told us, by which we can speak to God. How do we speak to him, God? Spirit to spirit. What does the Bible say about God? God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. For those of you that don't know, you're a three-part being. You have a mind, will, and emotions. That's your soul. You live in a body. That's the other part of you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 talks about a three-part man. Your whole spirit, soul, and body. But the real you, the one that's going to live in the realm that's not natural, you do realize heaven is not a natural location. It is a spiritual location. And you think, well, that's kind of weird. No, what's more weird is the natural realm. Because that realm created this realm that we cling to, that we love, that we are so comfortable with. But the Bible says when you pray in tongues, you're speaking spirit to spirit. Well, the only part of your three-part being that's going to go on to be with him in heaven, it's not your mind. It's not your mind, because your mind doesn't think like his mind does. And the Bible says when we see him, we'll be like him. We'll know things. All that. We don't have to renew our mind anymore when we go to heaven. Amen. Our minds will be renewed to all things heaven, all things Jesus, all things Word. When you die, your body doesn't go. We've seen that before in funerals, right? The body stays here. The body's just an earth suit. The real you is your spirit man. The one that's going to live forever. So why in the world do we spend so much time sowing into realms, in our intellectual, into our carnality, when those things aren't even going with us? The spirit man's going with us, praise God. It's a way that we can communicate with the real us to our Father. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, for those on the outside, and for those of you that just haven't picked this up, what an intimate gift it is to communicate with our Father. Our minds aren't involved. Our flesh isn't involved. Nobody else knows. The devil doesn't know. People don't know what we're saying. It's child to Father. One on one. It is so precious and so special. And so going forward next week, we're going to see what the naysayers say. Is this for everybody? And then we're going to look at the benefits. Because why would the greatest Christian ever say, I thank my God I do this more than anybody? He wouldn't do something more than anybody if it didn't come with results. Why would he waste his time? Amen? We are going to be tongue talkers. Like one minister said, until our tongues fall out, we're going to pick our tongues up off the floor, we're going to put them back in, and then we're going to keep praying in tongues. Amen. And for those on the outside, you start right now. Resist those thoughts. That's lies of the devil. If God says you can do it, I don't care how real the thoughts are. I don't care if you've tried this before and it didn't work. Doesn't matter. The Word says you can. The Word says you can. I am going to speak in tongues. I am going to receive this gift. Amen. Amen. It'll come to pass. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your Word this morning. Oh, we're stirred up. Hallelujah. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness. Lord, you're teaching us, you're showing us things. You're stirring us all up to get ready for the thaw. Because it's the power that comes from praying in tongues that's going to crack that ice open. That's going to cause those things to spring forth. That's going to cause that deep freeze to melt, praise God. The fire of God. The fire of the Holy Ghost. The power, the rivers of living water are going to spring forth changes in our life. For there's a thaw coming in 2020. And those things that have been held back will spring forth. And the Holy Ghost said that day, and the result will be great changes. Right now, I want everybody to thank Him for those changes right now in your life. What's been frozen? What's been held back? What's been stale? What needs thawed? Father, thank you for the changes. 2020 is a year of changes. And you're gearing us up. And you're amping us up. And you're equipping us to know what to do, to be catalysts for our change. Look at me real quick. I got to say something. When the Holy Ghost gives a word, when God gives a word, it doesn't automatically happen. When God gives a word, it's up to us to make that word come to pass. We have to cooperate with it. And what's He showing us? He's laying it out on the table how we're going to cooperate with this great change. Amen? Praise you, Lord. We bless you and honor you. We thank you for change, Father. Yeah, we thank you for change. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want everybody to ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, do I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'd go to heaven? If your answer isn't a 100% yes, I know, then you need to receive Jesus. It's not enough to be a good person. It's not enough just to go to church. The Bible says, unless a man's born again, he won't enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said, if you believe on me, you won't perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is the ticket in. Morality's not. Charity's not. Church attendance isn't. Jesus is the measuring line. So if you're here this morning, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I won't embarrass anybody. We won't have anybody come forward or stand up or say anything on their own. If you're here or you're listening by live stream now or in the future, through the archive, and the answer to that question was, I hope I go to heaven, or I think I would, or I'm not sure. My goodness, this is a free gift, salvation. It's the greatest gift you can ever receive, being saved by Him and go to heaven to be with Him forever. For those that are on the outside looking in at this, your heart's telling you, today's your day. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus, the only qualification to get you started is you must believe in Him. You don't have to understand everything about the Bible and about Him, but in your heart of hearts, you can say, Pastor Mike, I do believe in Jesus. I believe He died and rose again. I can't explain it all, but I believe it. If you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, and you want to receive Jesus, become saved, become a child of God, head forth into the wonderful things that He has for you as He will be your Father, and a good Father He is. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus this morning, would you lift your hand high in the air? Nobody's looking around. We're not going to embarrass you. I promise I'll have you put your hand right back down. Is there anybody at all? Don't let this moment pass you by. Anybody that wants to receive Jesus before we close, just lift your hand high in the air. Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands in this room this morning. So I trust that everyone here under the sound of my voice has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But if by chance there's somebody in here or listening now or in the future, Father, my prayer is sincere, heartfelt prayers that they would not pass from this life till they've made Jesus the Lord of their life. And Father, I thank You that You've made it so simple. And if you're here and you didn't raise your hand because maybe you didn't want to or you're shy, it's not the raising of the hand that gets you saved. And of course, those of you that are at home listening or in the future, I can't see you. It's not the hand raised that gets you born again. It's believing in Him. So how do I do that, Pastor Mike? Well, this is an outline of a prayer. You don't have to copy this word for word, but the main thing is you need to mean it with your heart. You would simply say in a place of privacy, Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I believe You were real, and I believe You died and rose again. And I ask You to come into my heart. And then just thank Him for saving you. And He'll do His part. And then send me an email or give me a phone call and let me know that you committed to Him. And I'll get some materials in your hands, but also get you started on what's next. Because salvation is the beginning, but there's so much more for you. So, Father, we thank You that if there are any, they will not miss heaven. That's our prayer. Now, before we close the service, let's stand to our feet and just worship Him together. Come on and lift your voice. We thank You, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Ghost. We thank You for the power that awaits, the power to thaw, the power to unfreeze, the power to make changes. We glorify You this morning. We give You the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you Wednesday at 6:30. You're dismissed.
We're going to give you just one more chance to put Him under. Come on, say it with me. Say, put Him under your feet. Come on, do it.
Put Him under your feet.
Are you getting a witness out there? Come on.
Put Him under your feet.
Put Him. Keep it right there. Keep it right there. Put Him under.
Put Him under your feet. Put Him under your feet. Put Him under your feet.
Are we going to go parts?
Put Him under.
Put Him under.
Put Him under.
worship you. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So we search for you, Lord. We seek you.